Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Sharon Ball, and you have been instrumental in quite a number of books about women's issues. But today we're specifically going to talk about divorce to wholeness, and then abuse to favor. And if my listeners would like to go to the website, it's aspirepress.com. That's aspirepress.com. So Sharon, you are the expert, and you're helping women to figure out solutions and mm-hmm. strategies. Mm-hmm. So let's start with divorce to wholeness. Yes. No one wants a divorce. No one ever sets out in their marriage mm-hmm. to get a divorce. What do you think are the leading things that cause divorce?
There are many reasons for causing marriages to crumble. I think first and foremost is it being centered on the gospel. And when the gospel is not there present, that's the crumble. That's the beginning mm-hmm. of the foundation, the cracks in the foundation, so to speak. And then I think after that, you see a lot of both men and women struggling as they move through their 20s, 30s, 40s with different issues, lack of communication. This book in particular is written based off my story of going through a divorce and me being a counselor at the time. And completely dumbfounded that my own marriage was falling apart in front of my eyes and I could do nothing about it. Not only as a daughter of the king, but as a counselor, helping others.
Yes. Were you a family counselor?
I was a family counselor, child adolescent, marriage counselor.
So that those old sayings like, you know, preachers, kids are good for nothing, and teachers, kids know nothing. That kind of hits home when a family counselor can't keep their own marriage together.
Yes, and ironically, I am a pastor's kid. So I had, it's hard. When it's right in front of you, sometimes mm-hmm. you can't see it. You know, denial is, I think, a way that Satan can use to destroy marriage, mm-hmm. you know, to live in places to save the peace, sometimes creates dynamics that are very unhealthy.
Yes, and what about that woman who is trying to make her marriage work to the point where she doesn't cause any turmoil and she's just, you know, so submissive and mm-hmm. and still the marriage doesn't work?
It doesn't, and she's starving too, mm-hmm. you know, in a really ironic way. As she's trying to give and give and give, she's being starved. Mm-hmm. And when you look at marriage and how God created it, it's a partnership. It's twofold. And so I think many of those women, because we're particularly talking about women, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it to that gender instead of mm-hmm. talking about men. Men have other issues they struggle with, but many of the women shut down. They lose their identity. They lose who they are, their sense of self. They pour mm-hmm. themselves into their children, into things around them to escape. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of medicating.
Yes.
But it's to keep them alive in some way mm-hmm. because they're shutting down.
Yes. So as a young woman or a middle-aged woman who maybe gets that first red flag. Mm-hmm. A red flag could be, you know, she happens upon a text mm-hmm. message mm-hmm. that doesn't seem like it belongs to her, or I've had recent experiences where the children received the text messages inadvertently or emails, mm-hmm. and so that was how they discovered that first act of infidelity on their partners, mm-hmm. on behalf of their partner, but really, the marriage was in crisis before mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. Is there more subtle red flags that women can pick up on that could maybe keep it from getting escalating to that point?
You know, Rose, it's a great question. I always go back to there's two people in the marriage. And so sometimes there's only so much a woman can do. She could change, she could make shift, she could do all the right things. And if her spouse, her husband, is headed down a path of destruction, he's going to head down that path. And yet, on the forefront, there are things that we can deny and look past or look over that are great red flags. For instance, him becoming more silent, him finding himself out more often than typical. In many situations, I find that, and even in my own situation, I just didn't want to believe it.
Yes.
You just don't want to believe that you did, you know, in my mind, as a pastor's child growing up, mm-hmm. you do things this way, A, B, C, D, and E, that will equal F. The mm-hmm. result will be what you want. Mm-hmm. And yet I think sometimes in our Christian upbringing, we're not given the tools to discern some of these other things that come into our marriages, because you love, you forgive, you turn the other cheek, you mm-hmm. Pour into that person, and you're willing to ignore a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I too am a victim of a broken relationship. Married 12 years, and my kids were young, mm-hmm. But they were old enough to say, "Mom, don't waste your tears on him." You know, that kind of, when they said that, it kind of brought me up, and I go, wow.
Kids are smart.
You know, don't waste your tears. I'm crying for you because you've mm-hmm. lost your dad, you know. But no, Mom, don't waste your tears on him. And that really brought me up, and I said, you know, we're going to have some joy. We're going to go out and go boating. And so we did. We just brought the equilibrium back into the family, and both of my kids love the Lord and are in the church, and I praise God for that. But it certainly was tough. But I noticed something, that my former husband remarried right away, and then his new wife, she would cuss at him. I mean, she really wouldn't let him get by with anything. And I thought, wow, you know, was that my mistake? Mm-hmm. That I just was mm-hmm. always loving and praying and forgiving. You know, I felt like to be a good wife, you needed to forgive and forgive 70 times. 70. Forgive and forgive. Was that my mistake? And so I'm asking you today, yes. Was that my mistake?
Well, I think possibly one of many, but I still come back to being responsible for yourself. You know, the destruction or the downfall of a marriage, if it's going to happen, if it's going to live and thrive, it will take two people to make it live and thrive. So had you come around and decided, you know what, I'm not going to ignore this, and I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to say, you know what, get your act together. I still think it takes the other partner to get their act together. I still think it takes the other partner to have mutual respect in the marriage to make it work. And so I try to teach responsibility for yourself. And if you're responsible to yourself, which ultimately comes under the kingdom of God,
yes.
and both of you are doing mm-hmm. it, you're going to have a healthy marriage.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about divorce to wholeness, you're talking about that focus where both partners focus on God, and the more they focus on God, the closer
I think the focus
together.
On God and focus on yourself. You know, what are you responsible to do as a human being that he's called you to do? Whether it's with your spouse or, you know, your friend, your children. You know, and it is also a book that I think helps guide women out of being shattered. You know, when you mm-hmm. walk away from a divorce, it's mm-hmm. your whole part of who you are
yes.
gets shattered.
It is. It just... There are so many things that you're concerned about if you, you know, if you're, especially if you're very involved in the mm-hmm. Christian community, as mm-hmm. I was,
yes.
you know, am I going to continue to be able to have my job? Because yeah. what will they think of a divorcee? You know, how are my children going to go back and face their peers now and their dad's left the home? And so the fear thing looms pretty big.
And that fear is often what keeps women in the marriage.
Yes.
They can't see past, okay, the fear of image. For me, Yes. Mm-hmm. My image as a counselor here in town, right? I get pastors sending me referrals all the time. I remember that was one of the hardest things for me to come to terms with and really lay it down at the foot of the cross and go, you know what? Mm-hmm. He's gonna take something from this pot of ashes. Mm-hmm. I felt like nothing, you know, yes. And he will create something beautiful out of it. I have to believe. But you, when you're in that moment and those first 2 years, it's incredibly.
Absolutely. I mean, it physically takes a toll on you.
Yes.
I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Yep. I just felt sick to my stomach the whole time. I just couldn't believe that it was happening to me.
It truly is like a death. That's why they say divorce is like a death. It is a significant loss in a person's life. It's a death of a marriage, a death of a family unit. And when you're recovering, you have to grieve it. You have to allow for that grief process. Otherwise, it gets stuffed someplace. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I had to remind myself, and I tell women as well, that your grief isn't a demonstration of how deeply you felt towards your spouse or towards the marital unit and the family unit. And so grief reflects what you longed for or what you had hoped would happen, and it didn't.
I so understand, and I know there are listeners today that are words of encouragement because both of us are successful women with what I have a wonderful relationship that I've been married to now 20 years. So I guess I've been married a long time if I add it all up, but God is good. But I didn't rebound right away. It took me like 4 or 5 years before I even thought of going back into another relationship.
It is so good that you mentioned that, because that is one of the best safeguards to preventing second marriage failures, is waiting.
Yes.
At least waiting that first 2 years to allow yourself to grieve and your children to adjust before you enter. I know some people say the first year. I like to be a little more cautious because the divorce rate for second marriages is so much higher.
Yes.
Then it increases for our third marriage. And so if you allow yourself time to rebuild, I mean, picture your vase falling on the ground and little bits and pieces that you never thought, you know, you have to put back together. But once you find that piece, you know, it's important to give yourself that time.
Yes, and I did. I went to a good Christian counselor, and I just really worked on me, being whole, being so that if and when I should ever go back into another relationship, I wasn't bringing a lot of baggage from the first one.
Right, right.
I know it's a cliche, but
no,
it's true.
No, it's true. It is very true.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about your second book called Abuse to Favor. And of course, so many times marriages are destroyed because of abuse, so I'm sure there'll be a little overlapping there. We're talking with Sharon Ball, and we'll be right back.
Homeschool Companion is a show for homeschoolers and their homeschool teachers. We offer a variety of guests featuring many topics like what to do if your child hates math, or how long should you keep your child at home, to special needs children, or encouraging the young author to keep writing or even publish a book.
For my first book, there's a huge pimple on my nose. I did what's called self-publishing, which meant that I had all the control of it myself.
Not everyone who listens to our show schools at home. We also cover issues that arise in small private school settings or other issues found in large public schools.
We have a small student body, about 120 students, so we have a very family-focused, family-type atmosphere on our campus.
Kids say funny things at times, and they also ask us questions, sometimes too many questions. What do you do when your child stresses you out?
And of course, we've all been there with our kids when they start asking us questions beyond what we can handle sometimes.
What homeschool issues would you like to hear us address? We all have unique situations we deal with at home with our kids. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
www.thebestofmarriage.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Sharon Ball, and there's a number of books that you've participated in as the expert on women's issues. We just talked the first half about divorce to wholeness, and now we're going to talk about abuse to favor. And abuse takes many forms. So we usually think of physical abuse, but tell us some of the other kinds of abuses.
Sure. Yes. You know, abuse is a power over strategy. It takes an imbalance in the relationship to happen, and typically because one person has more power in the relationship. So that can take on a spiritual component. It can take on an emotionally abusive component, verbally abusive, and alongside of physical abuse, we often see neglect with children. That's another form of abuse.
So are you saying that abuses could be caused because one spouse is more spiritual than the other?
I've seen sometimes, maybe to clarify, not necessarily spiritual, but they may use their spiritual influence to make their partner feel less than. In some situations, maybe using scripture in an inappropriate way to make her feel less than or subservient.
Yes, like wives, obey your husband.
Yeah. You know, a great example of that would be, you know, I was just reading the other day about the scripture verse, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And I've had many women in my office where they're kept up all night till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning trying to hash things out with their husband. And I don't know how helpful that is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many people can go that many hours trying to argue or banter without a resolution. But taking that scripture out of context would allow one to say, you know, this is what scripture says, so you need to sit here, although she may not be ready to come to an agreement. And it might be better for them both to go to sleep, get some good rest.
Yes, because when you're tired,
everything gets blown out of proportion.
Yes. So abuse is really a type of bullying, where we would define it where someone has more power over the other person, and they are wielding that power in a hurtful way. I mean, men traditionally are more, you know, are stronger than women.
Right.
But a good man doesn't wield that in a hurtful way.
Exactly.
He wields it in a helpful way.
Yes.
Or if the woman, be a little balance here, maybe she, you know, just has that quick tongue or critical spirit and just keeps after her partner. It is a form of abuse.
It is. It slowly whittles him down, you know, and then you'll see a man go stealth or go silent because he can't measure up. Every time he turns around, he's being told something that's wrong with him. And yes, over the pattern of time, that does create a sense of he's not good enough. You know, that's the reason why in this book I use the example of Saul and David, King Saul and David. I really wanted to bring out that abuse happens in it crosses cultural boundaries, it crosses economic boundaries, gender, ages, and with King Saul to David, you see a very abusive, destructive pattern, and to the point where he's wanting David killed.
Yeah,
you know, and then David and his wife are making a safe plan for him to leave. You know, you see this over chapters.
Now, do you find that same thing happens? Does it escalate if it's a truly an abusive situation? Does the abuse escalate if it's left unchecked?
I believe so. And I think that's why our statistics on emotional and verbal abuse, you'll always find the implorement to the woman typically, be very careful because this will escalate. You know, if you've got a pattern of verbal abuse, at some point something will crack, something will break, and it could turn physical. Anytime there's physical abuse, you'll always see or hear verbal or emotional abuse.
So you can have verbal or emotional and not necessarily have physical. But if you have physical, you will always have emotional and verbal abuse. So let's talk about strategies and maybe survival tips. Yeah. You want to save your marriage. You believe that you're, you know, you're just criticized all the time. You're suffering from emotional and verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. How do you create your own intervention in your family?
Sure. My first recommendation is, if you feel you're in an abusive relationship, get with a counselor that has domestic violence background. Because oftentimes, an average therapist, you know, counselor who is kind of like, you know, your primary care physician, you walk in, they're a catch-all for everything, right? And then if they decide you have something wrong in your blood work, they send you to a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with counselors. If you're thinking you might be in an abusive pattern in your relationship, get with somebody who knows about abuse. Because oftentimes, when you bring the abuser in with you, they can mislead the counselor. And the counselor will work strategies that won't work for your relationship. Mm-hmm. So I would find either a pastor who's familiar with domestic violence or a counselor. That's the first one.
Now, is there any online tools that they could use?
Yes. The National Domestic Violence Hotline has a great website. It also has a 1-800 number that is anonymous. The trained counselors, you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning if you're confused, if you're, you know, stuck in the closet and you just want to talk with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have great strategies on their website too. They'll teach you even how to, you know, a lot of times my women, their partners will check their history on their computer and then use that against them. So, you know, you want to first get with somebody who will believe you.
Yeah.
And that's typically somebody who's trained and can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, even the woman will try to candy coat it. But if you're trained in it, you'll pick up on innuendos and body language. And you'll say to yourself, this woman doesn't feel safe right now.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're coming to the end of our show. And I wondered what words of encouragement you could give our listeners. I imagine there is some person, because, you know, having had these kind of shows before, I get calls and they will say, this is just what God sent for me to hear today. Mm-hmm. So maybe conclude the show with some encouraging words or a promise or something to give them that little bit of courage to move on.
Sure. You know, the thing that I think brings so much hope is to remind yourself you're not alone, and that there is another woman just like you who is struggling, and that there is a God who sees it. And when you're in that dark place, you feel alone. It's when you feel alone that I think Satan can take a foothold and really want you to feel alone.
Yes.
And so getting out and finding one person or that counselor to connect with will help with the loneliness. And remind yourself, you may not feel it, but he sees it. The Lord sees it. And, you know, there is hope after,
amen,
too.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I look forward to connecting with you on the other
four topics we
have. And remember to go to the website,
AspirePress.com.
AspirePress.com, all spelled out. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.